Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Welcome back to the program. I did say that George Lee was going to be joining us to talk to us about things that we like for Christmas and things that we don't like for Christmas. George Lee, you're very welcome to the program. And you know something, we've tried to talk to each other over the Christmas period for the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 years to do different things. So it's actually great to be able to actually do it, isn't it?
Absolutely, Jaron. I hope you got the box of Jack Mallows.
Oh, absolutely. And they were beautiful. They were... Some were still frozen. But there you go. If somebody hasn't been listening to this program for the last 3 years, they're going to miss that completely. But there you go. If you want to know what we're talking about, well, you go back on the old podcasts, or you can send the Jared.TRE.radio. We'll sort that out. I can answer the question.
Or a stamped addressed envelope with a check for 50 quid, and I'll happily write it.
There you go. Exactly. All I can do is apologize in advance for both of us. But there you go. George, I wanted you to tell me about five things that you like about Christmas and five things that you don't like about Christmas. And I said I'd match you as we go along. So, will we kick... Firstly, are you a Christmas person?
I think I am, Jerry. You know, I was actually thinking, and I know you're going to go to the five things we like first, but one of the things I don't like about Christmas is that I get a call from Jerry Sweeney generally in the week before Christmas like this. And he comes up with some concept that he wants me to try to execute.
Now, don't forget, you made a phone call to me 48 hours before this to say, I have a great idea that would be super for Christmas for the radio. So I think pot calling kettle black, and those who live in greenhouses shouldn't be throwing stones and stuff like that. So anyway, there we go. So you are a Christmas person, all right?
I think I am, Jerry. Yeah. It's always been a great time of the year, I suppose. And I'm very conscious of when you do anything like this, that there are people out there who are not Christmas people. And they're not Christmas people for any number of reasons. And my mind actually goes back to, and it must be over 20 years ago now. And I remember working, as you know, I did in Milford Care Centre, and particularly in the nursing home part of Milford Care Centre. And at Christmas time, Santa Claus sometimes asked me to help out and to deliver some presents to some of the residents in the nursing home. And I remember going into this lady whom I knew extremely well and whom I got on extremely well with to give her a gift. And when I say she got violent, I mean she got violent. She literally caught the present and threw it against the wall as I went out the door. And I left to go for a little while, and a month or two later, I broached it with her, and I said, "You know, I was here to give you a gift on that day." And she said, "Yes." She said, "But," and I said, "Did I hit a nerve?" And she said to me, yes. She said, one of my parents died on Christmas Eve when I was very, very young. And we never had a Christmas in the house after that because my aunt looked after us. And I always hated Christmas. So I suppose when we go through all the tinsel and the holly and the Christmas trees and the flashing lights and all of those things, and we do things like this, I am acutely aware that there are people out there for whom none of this means much, you know.
There's other people. I would be one of them, George, that I'm not a Christmas person. I'm really not. But there's no reason why I'm not, other than the fact that I'm a grumpy old so-and-so. It just doesn't rate. I mean, I have lovely memories of fantastic Christmases and continue to have lovely Christmases, don't get me wrong. But I'm one of these people. I'd be very happy to go to sleep on the 1st of December and wake up on the 1st of February. But for no reason.
A groundhog, are you?
Something like that. So come on, we get to the list. Come on. Yeah, I tell you what, you give me one for one, and you give me one, and I'll give you one. How's that?
the one I have here on my list first is break and a time to kick back. And I suppose, look, that's very important. At this time of the year, Ger, you know, you've been working all the way through, and God knows none of us have seen a holiday in the last year and a half at this stage. But in the normal course of events, you mightn't have seen any bit of a break at all since summertime, or you know. And we, I don't know about in Spain, but in Ireland, we kind of run out of bank holidays after October.
That's right.
Put them all in the first 6 months of the year, and then there's another one going in.
Yeah.
But so I suppose, look, Christmas time comes along, and if you're not in retail and, you know, you're not in a job that requires you to work over Christmas, you do get a chance to kick back. I generally try to read two books over Christmas if I can, which is kind of unheard of for me. I love to light the fire, turn off the telly sometimes, you know, maybe have the box of chocolates next to me, take one after the other, rot every tooth in my head and read my books.
Okay.
And just kick back, you know.
Yeah,
okay. Right, show me yours.
Well, my first one was actually when work is done on Christmas Eve, because as you know, I'm involved in a project that keeps me busy up to about 4:30, 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve. And there's a lot of work and preparation goes into that, and a lot of work and other things that I'm involved in, as you know. That has my head spinning from kind of the 1st of November through until the 24th of December. And there's nothing I like more, and this has been going on for about 12 years, than to close the door on the place where I'm working and figuring out, and then stroll through the street, the empty streets of Venice. Stroll through them. Generally speaking, it's not wet, but head to my local for a pint and know that you don't have to get up tomorrow morning. The car is parked. There's no issue. And you just go and you have a couple of pints. Everybody is in great form. Everybody has a welcome for you, whether they like you or don't like you, because they've been there since 3 o'clock and they don't know the difference. And just to be able to throw back a couple of pints and just know that it's done. And there's a couple of bob coming, because I'm self-employed, and you kind of think, yeah, I've earned this couple of pints and you can enjoy them. So that's when work is done for me on Christmas Eve. That's my first one.
Fabulous. Okay. Right. I'm going to show you another one.
Go on. Fair play to you.
And actually this one probably features in both my lists, Jerry, you know,
right.
Family.
Yeah.
Family is very important, you know. You kind of get a chance to catch up, particularly for the month of December. I don't know what it's like in your house or in anyone else's house, but in my house, it's always been mad. No more than yourself. But most of my other life, I've been involved in entertainment.
Yeah.
And, you know, December is always a very busy month. On top of trying to do a day job, on top of everything else, you know, school concerts, dancing concerts, whatever else is going on in the house. But for those two or three days, you know, again, like you said there, you know, it's almost like there's a sudden stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at
there is.
Whatever, 3 o'clock on Christmas Eve, it's done, you know. And you get a chance to appreciate your people. Now, by Stephen's Day, you're all roaring and shouting at each other. I wanted to know who only left you a double decker in the selection box.
That's right, yeah, all that, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, family. Yeah, that's a nice one. My second one is giving. Just the fact of just being able to say to somebody, look, thanks very much, and give a gift. Box of marshmallows, could be, you know, ice pops, it could be anything. But just say to somebody, thank you. You know, it's the time of the year when you kind of reflect and you think, well, somebody did me a turn or did me a favor that meant something hugely to you. So you give something. So you give it to your family, you give to your friends, you give to, you know, those people that have touched your lives in some way. So, and I love to give. I never know most of the time what to give, but it's nice to be able to give. So that'd be on my list.
Yeah, I would say, Ger, of you, you know, that you don't really know what to give to you.
Okay. I thought there was something nice coming. I was getting me hanky out. I thought there was a tear coming. Right, go on. Show me yours for number three.
Right, my next one. Yeah, look, this is a kind of a catch-all, really, Ger. But Christmas Eve traditions. Look, there's a lot of Christmas Eve traditions, and I suppose some of these go back to my time as a child. Some of these have come in my own house. I have to say that for some strange reason, by the time, and they laugh at me here, by the time 9 o'clock comes on Christmas Eve, I generally have tears in my eyes, and yeah. I don't quite know why. Okay. I don't quite know why. Okay. And maybe it's because I've kicked back and I've suddenly come to that stop, and I'm beginning to think. And but there is something very special about it now. You know, whether that's going to midnight mass, or you will know that during the week, over the last while, I've been digging out copies of O Holy Night, and mm-hmm. that hymn does it for me.
As it does for a lot of people.
You know, I would have very, very fond memories of going with my parents, particularly to the Redemptorist Church in Limerick, where my sister was the organist for many, many years, and listening to the choir there. And I suppose that hymn always brings me back to there. But I mean, you know, the Irish tradition of lighting the candle, you know, at the last light. And I heard a lovely, lovely, lovely story, came across it, that my grandfather, who, as you know, lived in West Clare, that they used to light the candle. Now, these were the days before electricity. So, you know, darkness was all enveloping when it came. And particularly at that time of the year when, you know, the world is at its darkest. Mm-hmm. But he used to, they lived on the high road, as you know, Ger, in Quirin, and looking down over the Shannon Estuary, but also out over the ocean. You know, there's a headland that really is the beckoning point for the rest of the wild Atlantic. And he used to wait until he saw the candle in the window of a neighbour on the lower road. Okay. Before he would light his own candle. And the reason for it was out of respect for that man. Yeah. Because that man's brother had gone to America a few years before. Okay. The first member of his family.
He didn't want to celebrate Christmas
before that man. Yeah. And he wanted his light to go out to America before the light from his house was there. I just thought it's just such a beautiful, beautiful thing to do, and a wonderful way of getting your head around things. So, yeah, look, Christmas Eve tradition. Said there's another tradition, and we do it in my own house now. You know, my mother, God rest her soul, used to always cook the ham on Christmas Eve, and she'd have it glazed, but by 9 o'clock. The smell of the ham would be going around the house. And there'd be this beautiful mustard and brown sugar glaze on the ham, and you'd hear the electric carving knife coming out.
Oh, right.
And you'd say, oh, stop.
Smashing.
And in latter years, since I came of age, it's been accompanied by a little bit of mulled wine as well. And there is nothing in the world to set your mind to rest on Christmas Eve than a drop of mulled wine.
There you go.
And a bit of Christmas glazed ham.
Well, my number three is similar to that. It's remembering. And that could be a good thing or a bad thing. But I think it's a good thing. And I look back, and as I said to you at the start, I'm not a Christmas person, but I look back at my childhood fondly. I remember I was lucky in so far as my grandparents, I was alive. They were alive until I was seven. And then I lost I lost one at seven, two at nine, and one at about 17. But I remember the gifts that they gave me. I remember aunts and uncles giving gifts. I remember where Santa Claus used to leave the gifts that he would drop at the house. I remember how we'd explore the house, you know, Christmas morning, and just the lovely times that we had and the traditions that we had. And even things like going to Mass. I remember if you had asked me up to recently what was the best gift you got, it would have been a bicycle that I got when I was about 12. And I remember, you know, my mum and dad were pushed for a few bob, but they still managed to get the bicycle that I wanted. You know, and they had told me, look, it's not happening. We just can't do it this year. And I remember feeling kind of bad that I'd asked for it. And then there it was, the whole thing. And so remembering is lovely at Christmas. And I always, as you know, I don't know what gifts to give people, but you know I'm a positive person. And so I always try to look at the positives on things. So I look back fondly at things. So remembering will be my number three. No.
Very good. Okay. Does that mean I have to go to number four?
It does. Correct. Correct.
Oh, this one might sound very obvious, but the Christmas dinner, Ger.
After all you said about your wife's cooking, you're going to mention this.
I have to take my hat off to my dear, darling, long-suffering wife and say, my God, she can cook a turkey, I'll tell you what. So, yes, but the turkey is one thing, Ger, but the lovely rashers across the back of the turkey. You know when the smell has been going around the house all morning?
All morning, yeah.
The turkey is slowly getting there. Mm-hmm. And the rashers are done before the turkey is done.
So they can be taken off.
They can be taken off and you have the rasher. Oh, the rasher off the back of the turkey. Mm-hmm. You know it's Christmas time. But I have a bunch here in the house who absolutely die for Yorkshire puddings.
Yeah.
And yeah, they love Yorkshire puddings. And as everybody knows, who knows anything about Yorkshire puddings, they're eaten with beef generally. Mm-hmm. We have to do Yorkshire puddings with the turkey and ham.
Interesting. That's all right. That's okay.
So the turkey and ham, the turkey and ham is accompanied by Yorkshire pudding in my house for some reason or other. But it's just that sitting down, and we've a standing joke in this house as well that my dear wife always has the line, I'm the last one to sit down again. Sure.
All women have that. my mother used to say that too.
And that's thrown out every time. But yeah, look, the Christmas dinner and sitting around, and I suppose just having that special hour or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But the other thing about the Christmas dinner, Ger, is that no more than what you just said there, it also helps me to remember. Mm. Because particularly when I was young, there was rarely a Christmas dinner in our house where we lived. And as you know, where we lived was, you know, it had a whole diversity of people around it. You know, we had a psychiatric hospital across the road.
And a prison.
A graveyard up the road, a prison. we had the full gamut of everything within the area. But my parents had a chip built into them that would never allow anybody to be lonely if they thought they could help. And I have memories of numerous Christmas dinners where some poor waif or stray would be sitting at the Christmas table with us with a little paper hat on them. Mm-hmm. and enjoying themselves and smiling. And there's one particular man that I remember who never had a family. And I can still to this day see him sitting at the table with a little orange paper hat on him.
Yeah.
And he was smiling. And it was just so lovely. He had experienced family for the first time.
And you know, George, he only paid £25 for that ticket.
Oh, I trust you. Oh.
We can't have you getting emotional. But that's lovely. Okay, number four for me is just downtime. As you said, And I know it kind of comes in with when work was done at Christmas Eve, but it's different. Christmas Eve is Christmas Eve, but just the downtime where there's nobody going to be annoying you and asking you, will you do something for me for the radio program?
you mean people ask you as well?
Oh, yeah. but just, you know, knowing that everything is kind of closed up and just the job is done now. There's nobody going to be looking for a last minute thing that's absolutely impossible, but you still have to deliver it, and being able to go off and play a game of golf or go for a stroll or just spend time with family or whatever it is. The downtime for me is precious.
Good stuff.
Have
I one more? I have.
You have. Kiona one, Ella.
Go back to my list. Yes. The crib jar. That's my last one. And I know this sounds all holy and all those sort of things, but it's just the simplicity of the crib. If you took religion out of it altogether, the simplicity of the crib. And as I said a little bit earlier on, you know, the darkest time of the year, but yet new life is coming, you know, and the new life of, and if you want to call it that, the baby Jesus in the crib or whatever it is. But that lovely, you know, that lovely picture that I have in my head of, you know, a donkey and a cow and a camel probably, and they're inside and you can see the breath. Now, I know it probably wasn't even caught in this bit, but just that little thing. But I suppose more importantly, Ger, particularly for the month of December, you know, in your day-to-day lives, and especially as you get older, and you know, you're meeting people, and you know, everybody carries a burden, no matter what it is. And throughout the month of December, what I would always say to people when I meet them, you know, and they tell me about whatever pain or ache they have, or you know, whatever bereavement or whatever it is, and even sometimes in Christmas cards, I'd write it, you know, I'll remember you at the crib. And I just think it's just a nice thing to do, that that you just think of it. And whether it's, you call that a prayer or whether you call it religion or you call it whatever it is, it's just lovely to remember places. And this is a focal point. And it's a focal point. And I suppose it goes back then again, and you know, the tradition in Limerick where you would go around to all of the cribs.
Just going to mention it.
And see all of the different cribs. And there was a diversity of them. The one in St. John's is beautiful because it's simple and it's like a cave, and it's wonderful. The one in the Redemptorist for their full-size figures and their...
Yes.
Really, really grand, yeah. Mm. And the other little thing that I do always when I go to the cribs is I take one little string of straw from every crib.
Right.
And when I'm putting up my own little crib at home every year, I put the straw that I've taken from a crib in a church into my own crib. So that the straw that I have in my crib has been accumulated from a whole diversity of cribs.
You know, you can buy them you can buy that in the €2 shop, like, George. It wouldn't cost you a whole lot, like. If you had told me I wouldn't have sent the marshmallows, I would have bought you straw. It would have been cheaper. Anyway, that's lovely. My final.
Am I getting too serious in this altogether?
My fifth one. Children's excitement. I think there is nothing to beat the look in a child's eye when you talk about Santa Claus to them and how many more sleeps. And is the letter written? What did you ask for? And did you tell Santa you were a good boy or a good girl? And you just look at them and the wonder, their eyes open up and the wonder. And as an adult, you look and you think, like, what clown would believe that some lad, you know, with a belly like my own, could get into a sleigh and fly? Not only just that, but all around the world. And they believe it.
But he does, Ger.
But he does. Absolutely does. And that's it. But the wonder and the excitement and the no questioning that this happens is just, for me, it's brilliant. I mean, I saw it with my own three children. There's only a short window that they all believe. Because, like, if you look at my eldest and my youngest, there's 6 years between them. So there was a very tight window for everybody in the house waiting for Santa Claus. And it's just, so for me, the fifth really good thing for me, and that, what I think is, it's all about children, and it's all about the wonder of it and the hope of it, which is brilliant.
And the magic.
The magic of it. There you go. Do you know what I was thinking? I had a thought as you were doing your piece there, your fifth one. Let's leave the negatives. Let's not do them.
Do you know, it's funny that you say that because that's exactly what I was thinking there as well. But I have to give you my first one.
Right. What? Being called in late at night to do this.
With all the drinking.
And I'm just going to another pint between us.
No, I have a reason for saying this. Right. I hate writing Christmas cards.
Oh, yeah. We all do. I don't do them. You know I don't do them. So it's all right.
So for those of you that have actually got a Christmas card, and there are a number of people that are listening, I want you to know that it is a major undertaking for me.
I didn't get any anyway. That's all right.
To procure your address.
Procure it, right?
To purchase a card.
I put you on the list.
To do some handwriting inside of the card. To seal an envelope. To put a Paravion stamp on the front of it. And to actually find its way to a post box. So if you've got one from me, know that you're incredibly, incredibly loved. Right. If you haven't, please don't take it personally.
Yeah, I'm fond of you.
And take this as your Christmas card. Well, so listen, now you see why I wanted to do it.
This all started out as being, let's have five positives, five negatives from each other. But we just got carried away with the positive thing. So I guess, George, that means that Christmas is a positive thing then, yeah?
Absolutely, Ger. Absolutely, right. Wonderful.
Is O Holy Night your favourite, your absolute favourite Christmas song? I know it's a carol.
Yeah, well, it probably is, Jerry. It's the one that sums it up for me, really. Look, there is many, many others, I suppose, that I like to hear, but certainly the one that gives me the hair standing on the back of my neck is O Holy Night.
Have you a version that you prefer?
I have, but it isn't available commercially, which is Eugene O'Connor's version from the Redemptorist Church in Limerick, 1992 Christmas. It's wonderful. If you can get your hands on it, I'd really appreciate it.
Have you an MP3 version of it?
I have an MP4 version, but anyway.
Let's try and dig it out. George Lee.
Let's do that.
Happy Christmas to you and to yours. And thank you so much for sharing your five very long positive ideas on Christmas. It's been great. Oh, listen, what are you doing next week? I'm kind of stoked for next week as well.
Merry Christmas to all.
A Merry Christmas. We'll leave it at that, shall we, before we get into trouble.
God bless you.
Look after yourself. Thanks, George.
Oh,
Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.